We're very proud of, there's no question about that. You know, obviously it's the original name for Melbourne from the Wurundjeri people, back in the day, and it's something we embraced last year, and it really is about NUM, is about creating conversation, it's about generating awareness for all people to have conversations about our proud Indigenous culture, and it's something we're incredibly proud of as a footy club, that we were the first club to go down this path and really build this awareness, and it's great to see now two other clubs that have really embraced that in Port Adelaide and Fremantle, and we've got two teams Friday night, they're going to play against each other with proud Indigenous names.
Hello and welcome to Attention to Detail, the podcast for D's fans by D's fans, as we hold on for dear life aboard the rollercoaster ride that is Barrackin for the Melbourne Football Club. This episode is proudly brought to you by our sponsors, Hophand Brewing and Valley Electrical Group. My name is Tim, and I'm not joined by Simo at the moment, but look, this is just a quick preview of Friday night's Indigenous round game, Sir Douglas Nicholls, NAM versus Yatapulti, and we had a great recording session. We chatted to, in our last episode, chatted to Rowan Connolly, and we did record a preview for this week, 1 week at a time, but we ran out of time to stick it on the end. So this is a bonus little episode detailing, our thoughts about the massive clash that we have with the Yatapulti this week. It's shaping up to be two of the hottest teams in the AFL in terms of form. So please enjoy, and make sure you check out our chat with Rowan Connolly talking about the D's season and his article for Footyology and ESPN Australia. And most importantly, go the D's.
We're pleased with where we sit. We understand there's going to be some hype around how we're playing, but we also want to just take it, 1 week at a time. And coaches say that a lot, and people, and it's just the reality. You can't look too far ahead.
1 week at a time this week, and that stems to an absolute rip snorter of a game, and I mean, we're ready for another contest.
Rip snorter.
Rip snorter. Never heard that one.
No,
it's a good word. You like it. You like that bad boy. Almost as good as moist. round 10 coming up against Port Adelaide Interstate, which we have been, I think we've been okay Interstate this year. Obviously, both our losses have been interstate this year, so I'm hoping that, we return to Adelaide Oval. Obviously, it's going to be a hostile crowd. Last time we played there, we quietened them down pretty quickly, and we restricted them pretty well. So, biggest thing for us to do at the start is just, get some early ascendancy on the scoreboard just to shut those filth up. The fake Magpies. It'd be good to, good to slow them down, and, it's going to be interesting to see what happens from their selection point of view, because they've got Todd Marshall or a few of their key position players, with injury clouds. You got Todd Marshall will be out with concussion, Charlie Dixon, with I think a quad strain potentially, which is a really interesting injury, and could potentially see Scott Lysette come back into the side coming up against our two rucks.
It will, as I mentioned earlier, it's got to be match of the round. Carlton Collingwood, you might have more fans there for sure. But in terms of, I think, as a neutral supporter, seeing two hot teams in good form, mind you, which is a big difference between Carlton and Collingwood, it is going to be, massive. Friday night, prime time game. Last time we visited Adelaide Oval this year, not so good as well too. So as a ground that the D's sort of love and have a bit of a,
good track record against Port Adelaide in Eastern times. Not so much. I mean, we lost to Adelaide when we lost our streak of 10 in a row last year. But, good record against Port. And I think, I mean, what's your biggest thing?
Physicality. I think no doubt at times when we played Port that they've really tried to impose themselves, as a bit of, I'm using your words here, flat track bullies, I think is words that have come out of your mouth when describing Port. Perfect. Port Adelaide at times, and I don't like him. Power Pepper is somebody that probably at times has been someone who just tries to get under the skin, and they've had tactics in the past going after Max, 100, 150 metres off the ball, which hopefully that shit gets stamped out, and it's not something that you want to see. But you can see that they've still got some big body midfielders, as you mentioned, Ollie Wines. I reckon that they're going to be, from the first bounce, they're going to try and get under our skin. They've been playing good footy, but they're still kind of annoying.
They kind of just lurk, don't they, Port Adelaide? Obviously, they had a bit of a grim year last year, but, you know, 2021, they were thereabouts, just got, you know, found out in that prelim by the Doggies. So, obviously, they've got good pedigree there. And, you know, especially, I mean, you know, we start to look at the Oppo now, we think of why they're playing well, and that's, you know, Butters and Rosie have been amazing for them this year. And in particular, Butters, just, you know, his knack for the contest, he just throws himself at everything, and, you know, he's a real go-getter, and, you know, we'll have to put some time and effort into him. The amount of drive he provides, I think Wines will try and physically assert himself, probably with Viney, I'd say. I mean, they're best mates. It was really interesting having a listen on the couch, you know, talking about the preview to that game. And yeah, I just think, you know, Wines is starting to get back to, you know, relatively better form. He's been pretty average actually this year, and I think most of his preseason was interrupted, they were saying. So, you know, he's starting to hit his straps a little bit. I think Willem Drew is probably someone that will go to Clary, you know, he has done in the past. And I think, you know, obviously it's a chance here, another chance for Petrarca to just go whack, and you got, you know, Viney that can really step up again. And, you know, it could take for Melbourne to, you know, obviously if Clary's getting that attention, you know, for him to, you know, adjust it, the magnets, you know, if Goody can do that and, you know, turn around, it will be interesting to see the outcome.
Tell you who's somebody that we might need to keep an eye on that you probably, well, no, I'm sure you might have thought of him, but not so much that we might have said that this was coming out of our mouths this year. Jeremy Finlayson is quietly putting together a bit of a sneaky good season as a bit of a swingman, a bit of, you know, does a little bit of everything, you know, second ruck for them, who's that kind of combo forward ruck, but also they're thrown down back at times. I know he played a pivotal role in one of their big wins, taking some intercept marks down back as well. Last week, kicked 3 goals, 5. Now, I know we're playing against North Melbourne here, but 3 goals, 5, 20 touches, you know, 15 kicks. With some of their key cattle potentially out, as you said, up forward, he could be either the sole focus of the forward line, or he could still be somebody that has a damaging impact. So I think that for the Ds, watching his form probably over the last few weeks, would be somebody that want to make sure they have a plan of attack.
100%. Hats off to him too. He's gone through a lot. Actually, I don't know if you've read the stories about his partner and her battles and things. And yeah, really, truly hats off to that man, because, you know, he's obviously gone through a lot, and, you know, he is stringing some really strong footy together, and he's someone that we need to be mindful of. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see who does get the job. You know, is it Rick Levers? You know, does he take the ownership? Or he's a hard one, because he's a bit of a hybrid. He kind of can do, you know, a bit of ground stuff and, you know, a bit of air stuff as well. So it's going to be, yeah, but to be fair, if Charlie Dixon's out, you know, May could potentially get that matchup. And
yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, they're no Georgiadis, which has caused Melbourne a bit of grief in the past. And, you know, a young bloke, Ollie Lord, coming through could be someone that would have to step up. But, you know, I think our defensive stocks could potentially become, you know, really hard for them to kick a score against. And I think, you know, to be fair, I reckon this one's going to be just a real grind. And I think it's just going to be a battle, kind of similar to Gold Coast, I reckon, just, you know, probably around the 70 points each-ish. I reckon it'll be a really tight one. You know, you say that, but, in, you know, one team might kick away. I think when we were talking about the Port game in 2021, we said it was going to be close, and I think we ended up blowing them out by 6 goals or something. So, yeah, we've got to start well is the biggest thing. I think we can exploit, you know, obviously talking about changes, which probably the perfect segue, you know, we need to be able to stretch their defense. They're pretty short down there. And I think, well, they've got Trent McKenzie's their second tall down there. So you think we've got to really, I'm forgetting about. But if we go in with 3 talls, I think that could really stretch them, pending weather wise. I think with Petty out, we definitely need to replace him with a key forward, whether it be T-Mark or Brown. I think maybe Tom McDonald could be the one in terms of the more mobile big man. It's a hard one because, you know, I don't know Ben Brown's body at the moment. But then again, I honestly think Ben Brown's a better AFL player than VFL. He just doesn't dominate VFL games. He might have done well in one or two across. I mean, he had a good patch of form in 2021, which then got him back in the side. But, you know, Tom McDonald's not really one to set the light on fire in the VFL either. They just, you know, get by. They play relatively well, but they don't bang the door down. So it's a bit of a hard one to say, you know, are they in good touch? But you know what you're going to get when they come into the AFL side. So, I mean, you saw what Ben Brown did early in the season. Tom McDonald had flashes of brilliance as well. So you think, yeah, I'll be happy with whoever comes in out of the two of them. It's a tough one. I think, well, obviously with Sparrow going out, you think probably a like for like, you got James Harms waiting in the wings.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Whether it be Jordan starting as a sub and Harms comes in or vice versa, they'll probably be the way to go. Left to centre selection, I probably have to look at some stats. I haven't watched much of Casey, but Joel Smith as one that could be a real X factor with Petty going out to potentially fill that void as a third tall defender to release, you know, your Jakey Levers and things. But I just think with Trent Rivers, you know, rise and Hibbard's rise, because they've actually played taller. Well, they've obviously shorter, but they've played on taller players this year to try and, you know, nullify their roles. So, yeah, I don't know. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, look, just going back to the key forward and the selection, I honestly think that Ben Brown could potentially be the better fit. Now, you think about how the way that Rue plays and how he has the last couple of weeks, he does do similar things to T-Mac in terms of making his way a bit further up the ground. I think his aerobic ability is a bit closer to T-Mac's than obviously what Ben Brown's is. But I think Ben Brown being that little bit more stay-at-home forward, whereas Rue can get into the ground a little bit further up as well. You know, in terms of the combination on what's going to work best for us, if they think that he's in considerable form in terms of looking at the two for comparing the two, I would probably put Ben Brown in, maybe just to sort of see how they go against with each other. Yeah, that's just my view on that. In terms of Sparrow, I think you're spot on with Harmsy and Jordan. It's got to be one out of those two. The only thing I can potentially see for maybe as a go for you left of field inclusion, Jake Melksham has had some success in the past. Now, not to say Aliri has had a fantastic season so far, but he has had some success in negating his influence in games and yeah, being one defender potentially down, depending on where they want to throw with Pet. Yeah, if they choose to potentially have an extra forward, bringing in a Jake Melksham rather than bringing in a T-Mac or Ben Brown would be interesting. Let's say, for instance, it's wet weather, and they want to go smalls, then he could be somebody that certainly can have that negating role in Aliri and hopefully get on the scoreboard, which he can do. He can do. He's got that bit of X factor about him.
He does. Now he's one that, you know, he's had some big games in the VFL, and you think he's, you know, he hasn't actually
and
had
the goal. I think that goal.
Oh, it was a fucking ripping goal. he's had one full game, and that was against Essendon. Or was he sub against Essendon? No, I think it was in. I'm pretty sure he was a full game against Essendon, but the games he's played hasn't really set the light on fire, a world on fire, sorry. It's a hard one because, yeah, you think of what he produced in 2018 to now. He was the perfect player to negate an intercepting defender. You know, he's done things with Harris Andrews, Elia at times, and I think back to a Jeremy McGovern game as well. You know, that year they ended up pummeling us in the finals. But I think it was like round 21 where, yeah, he negated Jeremy McGovern's influence. So you think that could be that's actually a really good call by you. That's not out of the question, to be fair.
No.
Depending weather, I'd say you've done
it. We also do quickly forget as well, like, that Carlton game back to last year that we so fondly remember with Cozzy's game winner, but also Melksham has such a massive influence on that game as well too. And there's those couple of games there that he did, like, if he doesn't kick that goal in the goal square as well, I mean, he had two goals in the last quarter, I think, from memory, potentially Melksham to really get us in position for Cozzy to kick that goal to win the game. So he can be that player that does have that X factor. Now, does he produce that each and every week? Maybe not, but he could be somebody that, again, deployed at the right time and in the right context and circumstances, can be really beneficial for the D's. And it just might be those tactical selections that are purely based on the personnel that they're going to be coming up against. So, see what happens in that space. Yeah. All right, Margin, what are we thinking, mate? Obviously, D's win. But,
yeah, well, I mean, we always... there's always never a game win. Where I won't... Yeah, I was going to say, there's never a game I'm going to tip against him. Like Al tipped against them against the Doggies, which obviously worked in their favour. But yeah, I'm going to say Melbourne by 10, and I think it's going to be an absolute ripping contest. I think we just do enough to get over the line. I think tied up until three-quarter time, and I think our running power capacity and the way we've been trending across the season will get us over the line. And it'll be bloody hostile too, but it'll be bloody good seeing that win.
It would be. I didn't really want to get over there as well too at some stage to watch a game. It would be
pretty cool.
It'll be, yeah, you'll obviously feel like a minority, but I think it would be an awesome atmosphere. But yeah, no, look, it is going to be tight. Hopefully it's more than 10 points. Let's go 16 points. And yeah, hopefully again, Dees to just sort of, again, exert their fourth quarter dominance and continue that trend that they've been doing so well this season and run over the top of them in the last quarter with some fresh legs and outclass them. So it's going to be a huge test for Melbourne and really a bit of a litmus test to see after 3 weeks of kind of softer opposition. Hopefully they can stack up against a team that's in really hot form away from the G and yeah, as you mentioned, in hostile environment. So yeah, go the Dees.
Talk here a lot about attention to detail. I know you do.
In an investigation, details matter.
That's as much detail as we're going to go into today.
Wasn't much time in between that, was it? Straight in. Simo, another week, mate. It's been a big week, but yeah, awesome to talk to Rowan Connolly tonight. Again, fantastic journalist, has been around the game for a long, long time. Really value and respect his views and his opinion. And yeah, it was a really great article that he put out today. Yesterday, in regards to the Dees, but also he's just got a wealth of footy knowledge, doesn't he? And amazing hearing some stories of games beyond our time. But no, it was awesome to have him on again, as we've had him on a couple of years ago. And yeah, great to catch up with him.
100%, and not only just talking about the Dees, but just talking to him in general was, yeah, really pleasing. And you know, a couple of times went off topic, but no, just great because it's a great insight. You know, to what he thinks, and you know what the potential future could hold, and you know, seeing common trends, or trends in different teams is, yeah, it was really interesting to hear his views, and you know, and what he thought about the Dees, and you know, flying under the radar has been a common theme of this podcast, and yeah, I hope it does continue, but it's going to be hard to fly under the radar this Friday night and in the next 4 weeks, because I tell you what, we've got some absolute blockbusters coming up and can't wait.
That's right. And most importantly, he did tip, and I don't think it was just because he's on this pod, he did tip Dees for the flag this year. So let's hope that stays true. But no, big thanks to Rowan, and as I said, make sure you go and check out his content. Yeah, Footyology, again, it's a really great hub of all this fantastic football and just media content. It covers sports, movies, politics, music, all sorts of things, as long as his podcasts, and you'll hear him on 3AW as well too. But no, it's a great support of the pod. People know where to find us on socials. If you want to shoot us an email, attention to detail pod@gmail.com. But yeah, Simo, that's probably about it. I'm on week three of this diet. You're probably just getting out of your hangover from Saturday night's debacles at the...
I was in bed early, actually. I carked it, though. I mean, there's some funny stories, which I'm going to not tell on here, so... about what happened on that night, but ready
from
to launch.
From the Royal or not?
No, not the Royal.
But bring on Friday night. It's going to be huge. Yeah. Most importantly, though, calm the Dees.
Up the Dees.
Thanks, mate. Catch ya.